Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly Radio Show. Happy you've taken time out of your day to join us on the program, whether you're listening live on one of the 20 AM and FM frequencies broadcasting our program here in 2023 or podcast replay, in-studio video replay. Thank you. It's time for question and answers. If you've got a question, we can probably get you an answer to your question. If you want to submit that, you can do that in two different ways. You can go to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Send us an email, gardentalkradio@gmail.com, or you can give us a call toll-free coast to coast at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469.
This question is sponsored by Fleet Farm and fleetfarm.com. I have one pumpkin plant growing, and it's getting kind of big, but I recently had just one small pumpkin growing, and it broke off. I'm new to this, but I haven't been watering it very well, but also I live in Texas. I'm going to try to start watering it more, but any tips on how to make it grow stronger?
Watering helps.
Yeah. The best, yeah.
Keep water consistently to the roots, whether you're in Texas, Alabama, or New York, Wisconsin. Water is the key here. Secondly, pumpkins, zucchini, watermelon, fill in the blank fruit or vegetable. If it knows it can't sustain the fruit or the vegetable on it, it will drop it off. Pumpkins are notoriously known for producing 7 or 8 flowers and starting to put on 7 or 8 pumpkins, and then they will kick off or dry up several of them. So you only have 1 or 2 really nice pumpkins. So that's just a natural thing. So focus and look at, once you've got a pumpkin established, or a watermelon, or cantaloupe, or honeydew, find 2, or maybe at the very most 3, that look really good, and then go ahead and cut the other ones off. I know it's painful, but go ahead and cut and the other fruits that are trying to develop off, so all the energy can be focused to that one plant, or that one fruit, or that other 1 or 2 pumpkins, so you have really nice pumpkins in the fall, or harvest watermelons, or cantaloupe, whatever they may be. You can also put good compost around the base of the pumpkin. As you water, the nutrients will go down, and pumpkins will also send off roots along their vine. Whenever you pick a pumpkin up, it's going to be attached to the ground with roots. So you could also, put a little soil around that too. It's not required, but also now you're trying to grow 2 pumpkins. You don't want to invest $83 in compost and compost teas and fertilizers to try to grow 2 pumpkins that you could buy at the supermarket for $6. Okay? So, yeah, we want to grow what we want. We want to try to grow it, but we have to be logical about this as well. All right, next question here is the phone call. We had a phone call come in from Boston. They listened to us on WCRN 830 AM. She did not leave her name, but let's see what she has to say.
Just wanted to ask the question. I enjoy the show very much, listen to it every week. And the question is, should eggplants be planted deep, when you transplant, similar to tomatoes, which you stated they should be planted a little deeper? Also, another question, I'd like to know where to buy rock fate, not fertilizer, but straight, just rock fate. And also, I'm not clear on when you say Jones seeds or Jung seeds. So I'm not sure, when you advertise that, I'm not sure what words you're using. So if you could clarify that. And like I say, thank you very much for your show. It's wonderful. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you for calling in. Thank you for the kind words on the program. With eggplants, no, you don't want to plant them any deeper than what they are in the container, whether you've started it or you have bought it from in a container. If you plant it deeper, and this is the same for peppers, even though tomatoes, peppers, eggplants are all in the nightshade family, peppers may fractionally put a few more roots on right above where the soil line is. It's not, if you plant them too deep, they're going to rot. Same things with eggplants. Just plant them in the depth in which they were in the container. Tomatoes, you can plant very, very deep, and the hairs on the stem of the tomatoes have the opportunity to put on roots. Also, Jung Seeds, JungSeed.com. Jung Seeds, Jung Seed at.
And you can use
coupon code
10TG23.
Right. Say that again.
10TG23.
To save 10%.
10% off your order at jungseed.com. J-U-N-G-seed.com.
Yep. There you go. And then she also had a question about
The rock fates?
Rock fate, yes.
So you can find that at most local garden centers. It looks like they come in 5-pound bags. So okay. You just go to your local garden center.
Yeah, I would recommend independent.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least they would know. Big box store may carry it, but they don't care. They don't care whether right. you buy it or not.
All right. So then we have another question
yeah,
that came in.
Ed from Yankton, South Dakota asked if planting carrots and onions next to each other, if there's a problem with those, if they are a companionship in the garden or enemies.
Well, they're not either. They're not best friends, but they're not enemies either. Maybe they're frenemies.
You can plant
but
those.
You can plant them next to each other. It's no problem at all. So that's a good choice. And
thank you,
not,
Ed, for
cause issues.
Yep. All right. Are you finding that tomatoes, cucumbers, pepper plants are much more costly this year? Also, flowers and shrubs, trees seem to have doubled. Is this true in your area? Yes. We had an article come out in the local TV station here, and they were saying that everything has basically gone up. Garden supply is up 15%. Cost of fertilizer has tripled. And we all have our own thoughts of why this is occurring, whether it's politically motivated, whether it has other reasonings behind it, or if it's a combination of all many factors. But yes, everything has gone up. Seedlings are going to cost more this year. Fertilizer is going to cost this more. Everything. Food across the board. So what we are planning on doing is we planted a lot of tomatoes and they didn't all grow the way I wanted them to grow inside. So we have about 20 less tomatoes than what we had anticipated. So we're going to pull a playbook card from Holly's past. Explain for people who've heard this or haven't heard this.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize this would be such a big deal.
This is a big deal, at least to me, and maybe a lot of our listeners. They've never heard that this can be done, especially with these vegetables.
Growing up in the city, we would just plant the seeds Memorial Day weekend. So that was everything. That was zucchini. That was tomatoes.
You didn't know
peppers.
What a plant start was.
No. When I first met you and you're like, I got my seeds started, I'm like, okay, that's cool. Why are you growing them in this tiny little greenhouse? Not realizing that you were going to transplant them. Mm-hmm. I thought that you were...
That was their home forever.
Good at gardening.
Joke's on you.
Apparently. So, yeah, we just threw them in the ground. I mean, don't just throw them in the ground, plant them nicely. And then by August, we usually had everything. So,
well, yeah. Whenever you look in the back of the package, it says days to harvest. That is whenever you put it in the ground, not when you start it in the seed cell. So if you started tomatoes that take 85 days, it's days to harvest is from the time you take that transplant and put it in the ground, 85 days start then. Or you take that seed. 85 days starts then. So the starting point is the same. The size of the plant is different. The only benefit, I mean, there's multiple benefits to this. You save space indoors, and you don't have to go through the process of hardening off your plants. The plants get naturally hardened off as they grow in the garden. So you did, and peppers, I wouldn't advise this on peppers. Peppers are incredibly slow growing, but apparently it worked for you. That peppers did the same thing. They
yeah,
grew.
I don't think they got very big, but they did work. Yeah.
But tomatoes are more rapidly growing. So we're going to take, when we run out of starts from our indoor grow room, we are going to just go straight to the seed. And just like you would in your seed starting tray, I'm going to plant three tomato plants, three seeds in a hole with the with at least one coming up. And if all three comes up, and they all three are like really, really great, then I will gently sort them out and move them around and maximize our tomato growing. We've got good eggplants and good peppers. We just didn't have the number of tomatoes. We didn't plant enough.
Yeah, we probably should have planted more, but that's okay.
So there's your handy garden tip of the week. You can just put the seed in the ground, and you can get your seeds from jungseed.com, JUNGSEED.com, and save 10% by using coupon code 10TG23 and get all the seeds you want. You don't have to worry about your plant starts. So next question here, now that we've surprised a lot of people on that.
Okay, so is there such a thing as too many mushrooms being a bad thing? I have a ton growing in my container with my bell peppers. It's not a bad thing per se, but maybe you could be overwatering. Or if you live in a high moisture area, they might just naturally occur. But if you mulch, it could help reduce them.
Reduce them, and they're only going to be around for 48, 72, 96 hours, and they are going to produce some shade on the soil if you're not mulching, and you should be mulching, even your containers, you should mulch. Mulch for your containers can be pine straw, can be shredded paper, it can be sand. You can go to the beach and get and just put a half inch of sand on top of the containers. Because what's underneath sand at the beach? Moisture.
More sand.
More sand, but it's wet sand.
It is wet sand.
It's wet sand.
Yeah.
And you can use all types of natural mulch around your containers. Straw, chemical-free, seed-free grass clippings. But certainly mulch your containers, because no matter the size of your container, it's going to dry out quicker than in the ground. And the smaller the container, the less soil mass, the faster it's going to dry out. And the sooner you're going to have a dead plant, because you may not remember to hydrate it. All right. Should I pinch off the flowers of my potato plants? Well,
This
is controversial.
It is controversial. It's kind of like a do what feels right for you type of thing. Some people
Cut suckers off a tomato, right, or not? You know, get your boxing gloves on and go at it.
So some people like to do it. Some people don't. It will put energy possibly back into developing larger potatoes, but it's not.
But if you
necessary.
Pinch the if you pinch the flowers off, which potato flowers are very pretty. They're pink ones and white ones and yellow ones. If you pinch the flowers off your potato plant, are you going to gain a half pound more potatoes? Or are you going to gain so minuscule amount of ounces that it's not worth the effort to go through and pinch the flowers off your 37 plants? And certainly these agricultural fields, they're not pinching flowers off of their plants. Now, Yukon Gold potatoes are more prevalently known for putting on seed pods, or little looking like green tomatoes that contain pure real potato seeds. If you remove the flowers from that, I'm drawing a blank, but I don't know if that's actually going to prevent those from occurring or not. But you can. There are people that will get those and then start potatoes from true seed rather than tubers that we're all very familiar with doing. It is a challenge. Some people are successful at it. Don't eat those. Those are very high level of toxicity, and you don't want to mess with those.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.